All right, let's take our Bibles and go to Romans chapter 1. And it's good to see y'all coming on up there, on up. Before it's over with, y'all be up here near me. And I appreciate that. Maybe some of the adults will take notice of it and come on up too as well. Romans chapter 1, verse 24 be our text tonight. We'll start there. I tell you, this week when I've been preparing this message, and I just felt so dirty. It's a terrible passage, and I wanted to wash my Bible, my notes, and everything else, and my suit. It's depressing, really. When God judges a nation, Romans chapter 1, verse 24. You know the text. Context of chapters 1, 2, and 3 deals with why man needs to be saved, and all men are without excuse. And we're going to pick up in verse 24, and we're not going to stand right now, but we're going to begin to look at our text tonight. God's condemnation of rebellious humanity or man is nothing more than the natural consequences of their suppressing God's truth, rejecting God's revelation, and perverting God's glory. Lost world is guilty of those three: suppressing God's truth, rejecting God's revelation, and perverting God's glory. God acted to abandon people to a corrupt lifestyle that deserves God's wrath and the sentence of death, Romans chapter 1, verse 32. Now, three times in our text, in Romans 1, 24 through 32, we see the words abandoned, gave up, turned over. In verse 24, verse 26, verse 28, God gave them up. God gave them over. God, in other words, when God abandons, when God gives them up, when God gives them over, God allows their sin to run its course and act as a divine judgment against mankind. Now, what we're talking about when we talk about divine abandonment, it's a doctrine in Scripture. God removes the restraint and allows sinners to reap the just fruits of their rebellion. Now, when we're talking about Matthew 24, those are signs of judgment. Those are signs of Christ coming. Of course, you have them in Matthew 24, wars and rumors of wars, natural disasters, diseases, lawlessness, persecution, all those are there in Matthew 24. But we're talking tonight particularly how God judges a nation. Robertson's word pictures says this: these people had already willfully deserted God, who merely left them to their own self-determination and self-destruction, part of the price of man's moral freedom. So when God judges a nation, he abandons them in three areas. Number one, he abandons them to fornication, verse 24. He abandons them to sexual perversion, verse 26. And he abandons them to depraved lifestyle, verse 28. Let's look at the first one, abandonment to fornication. In other words, their fornication becomes their judgment. Look in verse 24 and verse 25. The Bible says, wherefore God also have gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. One aspect, verse 24, of mankind's corruption is sexual perversion. You often hear about Brother Ray reference the Rainbow Coalition. And you're aware that when, I don't know if it was his first term or second term, Obama, when he was elected, they had the colors of the rainbow shining on the White House in support of homosexuality. Jesse Jackson has his Rainbow Coalition, but that's a little different. That's where they try to extort companies for money. But the rainbow flag is a symbol of sexual perversion. And we have never before, and by the way, may I tell you, the rate is just as high in the church as it is outside the church, those that are living in with their lovers rather than being married. wife swapping, adultery, homosexuals, child predators. I won't read what I wrote next. All this confirms the result of God's abandonment. Sex within marriage in verse 24 and 25 is a holy gift from God, but otherwise sex is impure. Notice what it says in verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, impurity, degrading their bodies one with another, contrary to God's intent. Now, there's nothing wrong with what we're talking about tonight if it's within the confines of biblical marriage. In verse 25, notice that in our text, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They rejected the truth concerning God and all truth. They'll have nothing to do with God. Man is a creature, creation of God, and only can find full fulfillment in God, in worshiping and serving God. That's why they look everywhere else they can, but that can't bring biblical contentment. So they worship the creation rather than the Creator. That's why they worship the little woodpeckers, and they worship the snails, and they worship this, and they worship that, and save this, and save that. And that's why PETA came about, P-E-T-A. What they do, I know you're familiar with PETA. What is it, the protection? What is it, Jason? Yeah, ethical treatments of animals, where animals are treated better than humans, right? You can't take the life of an animal, a baby animal, but you can take the life of a newborn, of a human being. And they go so crazy. I was watching the news the other night, and they were talking about, I think it was chickens. Their latest deal is they want to try to save the chickens. God help us, they'll bring the wrath of all preachers when they try to do that. Try to save the chickens. Chickens have feelings. Chickens, they relate. They can relate one another. And we shouldn't kill the chickens, and we shouldn't eat the chickens, you know. And I got news for you. Here's one person that'll never be a vegetarian, right? And but they reject God's truth, and they worship the creature rather than the Creator. And they fall for the lie. Notice that in Romans chapter 1. It says, who changed the truth of God into the lie. What is the lie? The lie in its context is that man can exist independent of God. It's called humanist, secular humanist. We don't need God. Man worshiped the creature, creation, rather than the Creator. They don't care nothing about the maker of it. All they want to do is worship the animal. So God, when he judges a nation, according to verse 24 and 25, he abandons them to fornication. Secondly, when God abandons a nation, he abandons them to sexual perversion, verse 26 and 27. For this cause, the second time here, God gave them up. The word is abandonment. The word is divine abandonment. God gave them over unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. I believe with all my heart, and I preached this earlier in my ministry, AIDS is a divine judgment from God within themselves. So I know all this is uncomfortable, but we have to address it sometimes, and I'd rather your children hear it from the pulpit than hear it wrongly taught somewhere else. Are y'all with me? Now, so they abandons them to sexual perversion. Now, here we see one of the clearest teachings in the New Testament on the sin of homosexuality. Notice what it says again in verse 26 and 27. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use. What is the natural use? Heterosexuality. The natural use, that which is against nature, into that which is against nature, homosexuality. A man with man or a woman with woman. The natural use is one man, one woman, for a lifetime in biblical marriage. Now notice what it says. Likewise also the men leaving the natural use. Now I want you all to follow this because I want to make a point here in a minute. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust and one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. There are clear teachings in the New Testament, and I've taught you all this, and you might want to write it down in the leaf of your Bible. People say, well, the Bible doesn't speak against same-sex marriage. Well, Genesis chapter 19, 1 through 10 does. Leviticus 18, verse 22. Leviticus 20, verse 13. And then one of the clearest ones in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. 1 Timothy 1, 9 through 10. And Jude, verse 7. But two strong scriptures do teach of biblical marriage. And Marcus read them yesterday. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. God created male and female, right? I got in a talk with somebody the other day that I'd never heard this view. They said, well, we agree there's only two sexes, male and female, but there's many different genders. A gender to them is what you feel like being that day. Are y'all following me? And God, I want the kids to listen to now. God made male and female, right? You don't have to have the Target store telling you which one you are, right? He made male and female. And of course, the other one on biblical marriage is Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6, where Jesus reiterates Genesis. And something I didn't know, that when God gets ready to judge a nation, it's usually from sexual immorality. William Barclay says this, 14 out of the first 15 Roman emperors were homosexuals. 14 out of the first 15 Roman emperors were homosexuals. Now, what I'm about to say, I don't mean it to be funny, because it comes from William Barclay, but it is kind of cute. He said that Julius Caesar was every woman's man and every man's woman. Think about, well, don't chew on it, okay? But just think about that just a moment. Now, notice verse 26. God abandons them to sexual perversion. Are you following me so far? God may not send, and I believe he is breaking down our borders, and I believe he is sending foreign invaders. I believe that. But at the same time, the real model of God's judgment is abandonment to their own sin. Okay? Now notice verse 26. He says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. God then gave them over to vile affections, shameful lust, literally passions of disgrace. Now this involved, as the text states, both sexes engaging in homosexual activity instead of heterosexual relationships within marriage. That's the natural use, okay? Now, it says here that women deliberately exchanged the natural use, men and women, for unnatural ones, women with women. That's unnatural, right? You don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure out biologically that that's not correct, right? Now notice verse 27. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of error, which was meat. The Bible says here that men were inflamed with lust. The Greek word means sexual lust. Now, this word is used only here in the New Testament, and it differs from a more common word for lust in verse 26. But what's happening today is, you know how the homosexual community treats this, and they even have gay churches. I know if it's gay metropolitan church, it's a homosexual church. It may be a homosexual assembly, but it's not a biblical church, right? And so they have their churches, and they take passages and pervert them. For instance, God destroyed Sodom because they were unfriendly. But Brother Ray touched on it this morning. God destroyed Sodom because they were Sodomites, right? By the way, we need to get back to that word. They say that David and, my mind goes blank, Jonathan were homosexual partners. And they say, and this is how they deal with this text. Contemporary homosexuals insist that these verses mean that it is perverse for a heterosexual male or female to engage in homosexual relations because it is not, but it is not perverse for a homosexual male or female to do it since that's their natural preference. In other words, their natural preference is not sin. But it would be sin to us as heterosexuals if we were to do it. Now, ain't that backwards, right? But it wouldn't be sin to them because that's their natural preference. Oh, man, you see how they wash away Scripture? And that's not good exegesis. You can't support the Bible by that meaning. The only natural relationship in the Bible recognized is a heterosexual one, one man and one woman within the confines of marriage. Right? Am I not right? That's the only one. Now, all homosexual relations constitute a sexual perversion, and we are subject to God's judgment. Now, such lustful and indecent acts have within themselves the seed of punishment, because it says here, within themselves. Look at the mortality rate within the homosexual community. Look at the AIDS rate within the homosexual community. You know, you can't violate God's intended order, creation for man and woman, without paying the price, right? I don't mean to gross y'all out tonight, but you're not going to hear this in most pulpits, right? You'll hear it in some. And so what does the church do? Not us, but many people who call themselves Christians, they would say something like, well, I'm not their judge. I'm about had it with that statement. Or God made them that way. We'll call that an amen, Brother Frank. God made them that way. You ever people claim to be Christians. Have y'all ever run across anybody like that? Believes that? God made them. Well, what did the text say? It's unnatural, right? Or how about this? Live and let live. Well, I don't care what they do. I'm not really for or against gay marriage. I don't care what they do. Live and let live. How about this one? To each his own. And, you know, and the church is not giving a clear voice in this issue. So when God judges a nation, he abandons them to fornication, abandons them to sexual perversion, and then verse 28 and 30, he abandons them to depraved lifestyle. Notice verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, a debased mind, corrupt mind. If you ever watched TV or read and you wondered how in the world, well, man is being given over to a reprobate mind. To do those things which are not convenient. And I'll explain that in a minute. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication. And then he goes on in verse 29 through 30 and lists about 21 sins that when man does not retain the knowledge of God, rejects God's revelation, turns their back on him, does not submit to the authority of Scripture, these characteristics are evident in their lifestyle. This is why you see them do what they do, because they suppress the truth for a lie. And they go with that. I even hate to read them here, but pagan humanity's rebellion also included the rejection of the full knowledge of God. They do everything they can to get God out of their minds. I'm going to read something to you very interesting in a moment. God's responding judgment was abandonment to a reprobate, depraved, or disapproved mind, expressed in different attitudes and actions to do that which is unfitting and improper, a debased mind. Now, in verse 21 through 31, we see 21 sins that people commit when they've been abandoned by God. Okay? And you can read those in 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Boy, we see that today, don't we? Disobedient to parents. At the heart of a disobedient child to his parents is the sin of rebellion. It says, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful. Now, listen to verse 32. Who? Now, he's talking about those that committing these sins that are unregenerate, reprobate. Now, notice what he says. Who, knowing the judgment of God? They know the judgment of God. And they suppress the truth for a lie. Isn't that what the text says? Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. They know that they are violating God's law and they are worthy of death, but they suppress the truth of a lie and do not retain God in their knowledge so they can live with their life. Notice what it says. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. No wonder Hollywood celebrates these lifestyles. They have pleasure in doing them. I hate to bring up a dead horse, but I remember that lineman for the University of Missouri. He went to the pros and he came out of the closet. You know what that means, right? He came out of the closet and ESPN gave him an award, a courageous award, for coming out of the closet. It is amazing what goes on, I'm telling you, in the world. But this is why this world is in the shape we're in, folks, right? I think there's been about 3 or 4 court rulings by the Supreme Court that have devastated America. And I've shared them with you before. Number one is this idea of separation of church and state. That's not in the Bible, and that is not in the Constitution of the United States. We have the freedom to exercise our religion. It's not freedom from religion, it's freedom of religion, right? And they let everybody exercise their religion except Christians. So that was devastating. Number two, Roe versus Wade. 60 million babies have been killed since 1973, that court ruling by Roe versus Wade. Number three, same-sex marriage by the United States Supreme Court. And then recently, some in New York and other places, where you can kill a baby even though he's out of the mother's womb. And when they passed that in the New York Assembly, y'all know what happened. They stood up and clapped. I'm telling you, you don't know what's going on in this world if you ask God to bless sin, if you ask God to bless America. Folks, he can't. It's against his nature to bless this kind of stuff. That's why California needs to repent. That's why California needs to get rid of those immoral laws. That's why they can't snub their face, their notions in the face of God and do not expect an earthquake, right? God is shaking this world, and they don't even know it. And while they're doing that, the perverts are having their parades, they're having their parties, they're having gay this, gay that. And y'all know this better than I do. I hate to bring it up, but we need to laugh right now. I remember when Dottie and Ralph was with us. Y'all remember what I'm fixing to tell you. They went down to Disney World. And they didn't know. They were wondering why everybody had red shirts on. And they didn't know, you know, but they asked around, why has everybody got red shirts on? It's gay weekend. And all the homosexuals are wearing red shirts. I don't talk about you, Keaton, but they're all wearing red shirts. You know what Ralph and Donnie did? They went back to the car and changed clothes. You know? I go even further, folks. I don't give my money to organizations that push that agenda. It's sad. It's terrible. But they know these things deserve death, and they defy God, and they encourage people to do them as well. I mean, that is the pits of depravity right here, right? So I close with this question. Is God judging America? If you don't think he is, you're living on another planet. God is judging America. You can't kill 60 million babies and license same-sex marriage and go on and expect sing God Bless America again. It ain't going to happen. And I'm here to tell you that upon the authority of God's word. God calls it an abomination, a perversion of God's design for man and woman, and he cannot bless it. Every government has come down because of sexual immorality, and it's not going to be any different with America. So you understand this tonight now. We are to make a difference. We're to speak truth. Yes, we'll be persecuted. Yes, we'll be this. Some parts of the country, they're locking them up for calling sin, sin. But this is what a nation reaps when God judges a nation. This is it. This is it. I tell you what, there's nothing any worse than being left and turned over to God's divine abandonment. There's no return. Once you have a reprobate mind, it's over, Jack or Mary. It's over, right? No invitation tonight. Again, I'm going to go home and wash my Bible and my suit, my notes and everything else. But let's bow our heads. Father, this is a terrible passage, but yet it's one of reality. And we speak it and teach it tonight because it's real. God, protect the mind of our children that are influenced from the world system that teaches otherwise. Guard their hearts. Guard their minds. Parents, you know, I know people in this church are teaching their children this kind of, that this is not right. And I pray you guard the hearts of the youth and the children in this church from this world system that says it's okay, you can do anything you want to, and anybody that holds you back is a right-wing fundamental bigot who thinks their opinion is right. But we read in the text that they know this is bringing the judgment of God, but they do it anyway. So, Father, tonight I pray no invitation tonight. I pray tonight you speak to our hearts, that we'll be more vocal, that we'll speak the truth in love, and where these churches pervert the word of God and change it around. And, I mean, it's just creepy to me that they could gather in a gay church and sing the hymns of the faith and have such a reprobate mind it doesn't even touch them. So, Father, I pray you educate us tonight. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.